this morning from Canto
3, for a change. Canto 3, chapter 23, text 43. The title of the chapter is Devahuti's Lamentation, and a lot has transpired in the course of this chapter. This is verse 43. The scene is after their marriage, Devahuti and Kardama Muni lived together in the forest for long duration, because this is Satya Yuga. Duration of life is substantially longer in Satya Yuga, without the detail. 100,000 years is maximum duration or standard fullness of someone's life, as ours is in this age is 100. There's 100,000. So they lived together happily, engaging in worship of Lord Vishnu and performing of austerities in the forest for tens of thousands of years. And then, because they're so closely and intimately associated with one another, Kardama could understand the mind and the feelings of Devahuti, which were that she wished to have a child, wished to have a children, a son particularly. And she expressed that. He encouraged her to share her mind. She shared her mind. And he then, how this happened was particularly fascinating. He didn't say anything. He didn't chant any mantra. He just, by his mystic power, manifested a flying city. First he said, you take your bath in Bindu Sarovar. And when she came out of the Bindu Sarovar, much to her astonishment, her body not only became cleansed, but became beautifully decorated with 1,000 maidservants to assist her to enter onto a vimana, a traveling craft, not a 747, but a city with palatial buildings and parks and birds and trees and everything mystical. Manifestation just at the volition of Kardama Muni, because he was a powerful mystic, and her unkempt hair became, which was matted from forest life, became very beautiful, and so on. Ornaments, fine garments, beautiful features, because her beauty, beautiful princess, the beauty was not so readily visible from forest life. Although she didn't lose her beauty, it wasn't so revealed, and her beauty shone forth. And together, this forest-dwelling Kardama Muni and Devahuti ascended to the Vimana that not only was literally like a magnificent city, but it could travel anywhere. Like Narada Muni, he had his Vina, and Kardama Muni had his Vimana. It could travel anywhere, and they traveled anywhere. They went throughout the whole universe, visiting and spending time with great personalities who were in those different destinations. The text describes, this is Maitreya describing to Vidura, his opulence easily surpassed that of the demigods. He visited the demigods, he visited various places, and they were in awe, not envious, but they were in awe of his opulence, which, once again, it surpassed the opulence of heaven, but it was manifest just by his mystic power, which apparently he could at will manifest, at will maintain, at will withdraw, and the demigods can't quite do that. He was in power beyond the demigods, in opulence beyond the demigods, and in devotion beyond the demigods. So that's an important consideration. He did not become enamored by anything material. So part of the purpose of this excursion, its dimension specifically, is opulent life has a tendency to incite passion. The forest life nourishes mode of goodness. Opulent life nourishes passion to become the enjoyer of the opulence. It just has that power. Could you sit up front a little bit, because there's someone coming in that's going to need to sit in a chair. It goes back and forth. It's, as I said, subtle. He became attracted, but he wasn't attracted, kind of thing. Again, the purpose of the whole arrangement was so that they could produce children, because this is, remember, it's at the very beginning of, it's either the beginning of the life of Brahma or the beginning of the day of Brahma. In any case, Karma is meant to be a prajapati to help fill up the universe with good praja, with good offspring. And along with his brothers, who are all direct sons of Lord Brahma. So coming attractions is eventually Devahuti gives birth to 9 daughters. And not one after the next, but all at once. It's pretty interesting. So, and those 9 daughters were then distributed by Lord Brahma, the father and preceptor of Kardava Muni, to the other brothers, so they could then conduct their prajapati program with those wives. So the subtlety of not attached, moved by the attractive beauty, and certainly also the qualities and other features of being with Devahuti. Because remember, this is tens of thousands of years of living in forest life. And prior to that, his purity was already exhibited in that Lord Vishnu personally came and spoke with him and told him what his future life is going to be like. And it happened exactly as he said. So he's not an ordinary person by any stretch of the imagination, so therefore not attracted to anything material. Yet, all of this arrangement so that he could apparently be attracted. We had some discussion in the earlier section of this chapter. It's not a necessity, meaning great sages such as Gotama and Ahalya had a son who became the minister of King Janak. described in the Ramayana. And he didn't do a Vimana program and traveled around the universe and have opulence. So it's not an essential element. However, Kardamuni decided to do that and had the capacity to do that, and he did that. So it's not. For his own purposes, we'll just say. For the purpose of satisfying Devahuti. Devahuti, after all, she was a princess. She, the daughter of Swayambhuva Manu, so she's used to opulence. She accepted this other position happily, not regretfully or resentfully, happily. It was her choice to be with Kardamuni, which meant being in the forest. Now, he's reciprocating in this particular way and had the capacity to do so, but totally unattached. Now here's text 43. I'll read the previous verses before 43 and then 43. He traveled in that way through the various planets, as the air passes, uncontrolled, in every direction, coursing through the air in that great and splendid aerial mansion which could fly at his will, he surpassed even the demigods. What is difficult to achieve for determined men who have taken refuge in the Supreme Personality of Godhead's lotus feet? His feet are the source of sacred rivers like the Ganges, which put an end to the dangers of mundane life. So now text 43. After showing his wife the globe of this universe, the globe of the universe, and its different arrangements full of many wonders, the great yogi Kardama Muni returned to his own hermitage. Purport. There's several parts to the purport, so listen carefully. All the planets are here described as gola, or round. Every planet is round, and each planet is a different shelter, just like islands in the great ocean. Planets are sometimes called dvipa or varsha. This earth planet is called Bharat Varsha because it was ruled by King Bharata. Next. Another significant word used in this verse is Bahu Ascharyam, or many wonderful things. This indicates that the different planets are distributed all over the universe in the eight directions, and each and every one of them is wonderful in itself. Each planet has its particular climatic influences and particular types of inhabitants and is completely equipped with everything, including the beauty of the seasons. In Brahma Samhita 540, it is similarly stated, Vibhuti Bhinam, : on each and every planet there are different opulences. It cannot be expected that one planet is exactly like another. By God's grace, by nature's law, each and every planet is made differently and has different wonderful features. All such wonders were personally experienced by Kardamuni while he traveled with his wife, yet he could return again to his humble hermitage. He showed his princess wife that although he was living in the hermitage, he had the power to go everywhere and do anything by mystic yoga. That is the perfection of yoga. One cannot become a perfect yogi simply by showing some sitting postures, nor by such sitting postures or so-called meditation can one become God as is being advertised. Foolish persons are misled into believing that simply by some caricature of meditation and sitting postures, one can become God within 6 months. Last paragraph. Here is the example of a perfect yogi. He could travel all over the universe. Similarly, there's a description of Durvasa Muni, who also traveled in space. Actually, the perfect yogi can do that. But even if one can travel all over the universe and show wonderful feats like Kardamuni, he cannot be compared to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose power and inconceivable energy can never be attained by any conditioned or liberated soul. By the actions of Kardamuni, we can understand that in spite of his immense mystic power, he remained a devotee of the Lord. That is the real position of every living entity. NASA should read Srimad Bhagavatam. Everyone should read Srimad Bhagavatam. Finding out if there's life on Mars and wherever else space exploration may go, they're looking for features that support life as we know it here, like where's there water, and because, you know, life comes from water, right? Amino acids get together in water and form microorganisms, and then they evolve, and then you have life. So you got to have water to have life. Using the paradigm of life should be as it is here. So why must life be as it is here? So the several points, Prabhupada in the purport points to one word from the verse, which is gola. Gola, the globe. Now in the verse, translation of the verse is the globe of the universe, and Prabhupada is taking it down a step to the globe of the planets within the globe of the universe, which is fine. And the globe of the universe is populated by or filled up with Bahu Ashcharyam. Bahu Ashcharyam is the word for word is many wonders, full of many wonders, Ashcharyam. And then Prabhupada expands and says, each and every universe has its own opulences or wonders, and refers to the Brahma Samhita verse, Vibhuti Binam. Binam, we know, it's differentiation or this and that. So there's variety. And Vibhuti, chapter 10, Vibhuti is opulences in this world. So the golas, or the planets, then indicate there's other terms, dvipa or varsha, there's different vibhutis or ashcharyam, different wonders or opulences according to the natural variegatedness of God's creation. It's not stereotyped, it's not, doesn't have to be, and it's not. There's full of variety. So he doesn't quote the whole verse. I am going to from text 40, Brahma Samhita, Yasya Prabha Prabhavatoti Jag, where are we? Yasya Prabha Prabhavato Jagadanda Koti Koti Shvashesha Vasudadi Vibhuti Vinnam Tad Brahma Nishkalam Anantam Ashesha Bhutam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So the verse itself is primarily speaking about the Brahma Jyoti, And the Brahmajyoti is identified as the effulgence of the Lord, which is the source of the undifferentiated, non-differentiated Brahman. It doesn't say it is. It's the source of the effulgence of the Lord is the source of the undifferentiated Brahman mentioned in the Upanishads. And being differentiated from, so the Brahman is differentiated from this realm. And this realm is where there's infinity of glories in the mundane universe. So, Jagadanda Koti Koti, Koti Koti, millions and millions. Jagadanda, the anda of the Jagat, the universal anda, Koti Koti, millions and millions. Ashesha, unlimited. How many millions? Unlimited. Vasudadi, Vasudha means planet. Vasudha, just like one of the wives of Lord Nityananda was Vasudha. Vasudha. Planets. And Adi and other manifestations, planets, etc. Vasudadi. Then this Vibhuti Binam, the variegated opulences, Vibhuti Binam. So each planet, each entity, but now it's each planet within the universe is endowed with various Vibhutis. And from the verse in Brahma Samhita, that's distinct from the Brahma Jyoti, where there isn't variegatedness. Here there's variegatedness. And the source of both is this personality of Godhead, where there's non-dual variegatedness. Variegatedness to the impersonalist means material variegatedness. So what's the opposite of material variegatedness? No variegatedness. And then the source of Brahman, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 11. Krishna, Aham, is the Pratishta of Brahman. He's the basis and support of Brahman. He's the basis and support of Jagat, and he's the basis and support of Brahman. He's the absolute truth. So back to the text. Karnama, along with Devahuti, is traveling throughout this universe, and he's personally experiencing all of this variegatedness, and so is she, of course. And one can only imagine, he's a pure devotee, how he's just appreciating the greatness of Lord Vishnu, who maintains and manifests and withdraws the universe. That's another Brahma Samhita verse. He does that through his agencies of his potencies. Srishti, Stiti, Pralaya, Sadhana, Shakti, Reka. He does that, he does so through the agency of his potencies. Then the next point is, although he could manifest this craft, aerial mansion that could travel all over the place, in a flash he could then also just return to his hermitage. He's not attached. And he's quite capable of moving at his will. So that's described in the earlier verses as well. Such a yogi at will can do anything. I mean, not anything. They can do what is sanctioned by the Supreme Lord. They are invested with powers that are paranormal, beyond normal. But that power doesn't make them God. In the case of Kardama, he's very clear. He's the servant of God, and whatever he does is for that one purpose only, in service to Lord Vishnu. So he is the perfect yogi, where he can... I mean, he's not only creating a vimana, he, by his will, created beings, 1,000 maid servants. Very powerful. Of course, in service to the Supreme Lord. He didn't create the souls. That's just, you know, an arrangement by the personality of God that he has such a gift. And with full detachment. So the end of this little verse is, after all this, doesn't for many, many years, apparently hundreds of years, they traveled because this is Satya Yuga. And then he went back to his hermitage. So the main feature is he's a pure devotee. By being a mystic doesn't make him God, nor can anyone become God. The opulences of Kardama is minuscule in comparison to God. He has no misconception of himself being all-powerful. No problem at all that I'm the devotee of Vishnu. Nor should one, for commercial purposes, promote the idea that one can become God by yogic processes. Although such thing goes on, apparently, because Prabhupada is mentioning it. Asanas and meditation processes to become God. Or chant a mantra and become God. It's totally foolish. People should read Srimad Bhagavatam and understand the position of the living entity in relation to the personality of Godhead.